save your life.
Say they're going to reveal why they did it. Do we care? Is it worth the fallout in New York City? In the meantime, let's talk about health care, baby. We've only been talking about it for, 5 months on this show. Senators say thumbs up to the next process, moving the debate along. 60 votes were needed. They got the 60. But really, what does it mean? And should you even bother to try to read the 2,074-page bill? Well, are the senators reading it? The answer to that has to be no, because how could they possibly have the time to go through everything the way you would have to comb through it? Even with aides, there's simply not enough time to do it unless you completely skip any time with your family and ignore everything else that's being discussed in the Senate. So the answer is absolutely not. Kate Delaney, America Tonight. Hope you had a fabulous weekend. During this hour, we'll announce whether anybody nailed the score. It was the Chargers and the Broncos who took each other on this past week. And I think some of us missed the boat on our guesses, let's just say that. But I'm not revealing whether somebody nailed the score or not. We did have some that I will say I know off the top of my head, because I haven't even gone into the file yet, that came rather close. We're kind of like Larry King when it comes to nail the score. We wait till the very last second. You know, he says he doesn't overprepare for interviews, so we don't overprepare for letting you know who won, nailed the score, because we want it to be a surprise, the reaction, should somebody nail it. So we put the guesses under lock and key, and every single time we announce it, I go in. I mean, this is really true. I have a safe at the house, and it's a safe. I've got the safe right here on the desk. Let me see if you can. I'm going to move it around if you can hear that. And I have a key, and I turn the key, and right before we go to the segment, I will look. How's that? Kind of like when, what's his name? Come on, help me here. Oh, Geraldo Rivera. Remember the safe deal that he had? Al Kaboom, we're going to break open the safe. See what we find inside. We do actually have everybody inside, you know, at least theoretically. We have their guesses, so it really is true. Let's dive right into it and talk about healthcare here, because Saturday we're burning the midnight oil once again, this time they being the Senate. So the Senate voted in favor of debating healthcare, that whole overhaul, and whether it's supported in the upcoming months is a riddle that I can answer for you. The answer is no, at least the way it stands now, because your more conservative and your more moderate Democrats will stand in the way of it, I believe, unless a few things are taken out. So right now there is no health care reform bill. There is the version of it, and there is the vote to debate it. But if even it were to pass, it would look completely different, I think. However, there is always the chance that if a certain couple senators get what they want, what they need for their constituents, whatever it is that they're lobbying for in their area through various amendments, maybe they could be persuaded to change and to go with the flow, as it were. So as you can imagine, on the Sunday Swirl, what we affectionately call the talking heads on the political scene, you know, ABC, NBC, CBS, et cetera, and down the line, have lots of politicians on over the weekend on Sunday. So Chuck Schumer, the longtime senator from New York, and Senator John Kyle were guests on Face the Nation, and they talked about two different, radically different points of view as to where we were headed with health care and the Senate. Chuck Schumer, as you can imagine, was pretty excited and feels like this is a step in the right direction.
It was a very good night for us. Look, there are still many bumps in the roads, discussions, arguments, disagreements, but I think now the wind is at our back. There's real momentum. And the good news here is we still have a very diverse caucus. But every Democrat, from the most liberal to the most conservative, very much wants to get a bill.
And the reason is because ordinarily when you do start debate on a bill like this, it ends up passing, and most of our constituents are saying you need to do everything you can to stop it. And the best way to stop it is not to start it, but rather to go back and start over again with more Republican ideas in the legislation than is currently the case. So that's why you had every single Republican saying, no, not this. First of all, the American people, by public opinion surveys, have made it very clear they want this whole thing aired out. They would rather have us do it right than do it quickly. We've had so many deadlines. It has to be done before August. It has to be done before October. And so on. And now the president says he's got to have it by the end of the year. The reality is this is a huge issue affecting every American, and we do need to do it right. And the object is not to delay for delay's sake, but rather to have an opportunity for everyone to see what's in it, to understand it, to know how much it costs, and to know how it's going to impact their lives.
All right, so well said. That was my problem with this all along. It's a game changer. It's a big game changer. So, okay, you can have a deadline, but a serious deadline, a serious timeline, and discuss it and say, look, by March of whatever, 2010, that's it, boom, end of story, whatever. Or before that, whenever it was. This was the problem from the beginning because it was masqueraded through and then, of course, stopped, and the discussion and the debate across the country ensued like a wild forest fire in California, raging out of control, and good for all the people who wanted to throw in their two cents, because it does affect every single one of us. So now the process moves along and moves to the debate section. We'll see ultimately, as I said, I don't think anything comes out of that right now. And of course, you're talking about a break, so we're still on that timetable of months, but we'll see. Something could change. Somebody decides to go in a different direction. And there are three key moderates who right now voted to move things along but aren't on board with the current form of the health care reform bill anyway. So there's some, you know, there was one hurdle cleared, but this is just the debating process. So like Mary Landrieu from Louisiana. They're calling it the Louisiana Purchase because, of course, there was an amendment that would get money she needed for what happened, the ripple effects of Katrina. And so the 60-39 vote opens the door for the debate. Doesn't happen until after Thanksgiving. It's, again, the main thing is, supposedly, is to extend the 31 million Americans who don't have health care coverage to have them get it. We've been over this forwards and backwards and everywhere in between. Saturday was just the first round in this fight in the Senate. There are holdouts, like I said, and this open debate could certainly change things. So this is just moving this forward. Now, when you look at, I mean, this is the problem. You're talking about massively, fundamentally changing our health care system and the way that we get health care. It also expands the size of government. How many times have we said that? The role of the government, all that stuff. And here's my biggest problem with all of it. We don't know how much we're going to be taxed. It increases massively the tax burden. And if you work for a small business, which means 500 employees or less, look out, because if in the end they have to slice people out because they cannot afford whatever's thrown their way, then that's what's going to happen. If you have to pay for health care, then you're stuck with health care, and maybe you can't afford it. Maybe you're barely affording the salaries. I know a lot of people in that situation. So the problem is the unknowns. They're guesstimates at best. And you know what guesstimates are. I have been burned many times in my life. So imagine a guesstimate with your health and mine. All right, you can always throw in your two cents, 800-259-5791. But on the flip side, back, we have a daily salute. You're going to love it. It's a big-time reversal. See, there is power in numbers. We'll tell you what happened next.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about anything. any unexpected crisis. Freeze-dried Guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Did you know that the dollar has lost 10% of its value against other currencies in the last 90 days? Ever think about how inflation will change your life, your savings, your retirement plans? Remember inflation in Zimbabwe, Argentina, the Weimar Republic? Let's put this another way. Who cares if your investments go up 10%, but you lose 40% of your purchasing power? Gold still buys the same amount of stuff it always did. Gold does not require trust in a third party. You can possess it in your hand. You can take it with you. Gold is real money. Gold is honest money. My name is Daniel Larson from Midas Resources. To find out how you can protect your savings and roll over your IRA funds into precious metal accounts, call me at 800-686-2237, extension 134. That's 800-686-2237, extension 134. 800-686-2237, extension 134.
When you hear the words water purification, what comes to mind? If it's Berkey Water Purification Systems, this message is for you. Did you know that over 60% of municipal water contains fluoride at less than 2 cents per gallon? Berkey water filters purify treated and untreated water, remove dangerous chlorine, fluoride, and contaminants from municipal water. These filters are powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water, making them perfect for rainwater collection systems. From the smallest to the largest systems, BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has what you need. With your system purchase, you'll receive a shower filter, a fluoride filter, or two sport Berkey bottles absolutely free. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com would like to offer GCN listeners 5% off all ceramic filter systems and ship all orders over $50 free of charge. Visit BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. Or call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY today.
Oh, the weather outside is frightful, but the fire is so delightful. And since we've no place to go, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. Man, it doesn't show signs of stopping, and I've brought me some corn for popping. The lights are turned way down low. Let it snow, let it snow. When we finally
it was bound to happen that we were going to have Christmas music on this show, as much as Matt and I complained about it. But it's appropriate for this story, my friends. So we had to roll it out for you, right? How about this? As I said, power to the people, baby. Remember we were telling you last week about the kids who send letters to the North Pole to Santa Claus and then they get responses? I think when I was a kid, we did that. I'm almost pretty sure we did it, at least in school. So anyway, so this has happened for a very long time. And they'll get these letters that come back that are postmarked. So kids believe. They believe in Santa Claus. You don't want to destroy it. It's that whole thing about destroying the chain of Santa. There has to be a certain age. Like, do you remember who destroyed Santa for you? Well, for me, it was Eddie Vaccaro, who lived down the street, who had me practically in tears, and I was only 5 years old. So that's ridiculously young. I think kids are usually like 7 or so, or maybe 8, I don't know, before they have the Santa myth destroyed. Do you remember when it was destroyed for you, Matt? Were you like 3?
I was younger. I had an older sister, and I had a bunch of older kids in my neighborhood. So, I mean, I remember believing in Santa and going to the whole thing, but I think, I'm sure by the time I was 5, it was, the jig was up.
Yeah, the jig was up for both of us then at five, like I said,
too. I
knew
what was going on, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that's the problem when you're around, I was around older kids, and then they can't wait to spoil it. They can't wait to squash it for you, and then you don't believe no matter what. And that always aggravates parents, especially when you're still young. Five is still young, and so then they don't like the fact that your older sibling or somebody down the street or cousin or whoever ruined it, and they try to pretend that that's not true. Well, that's not true, and you never believe them.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't know. I still, like, had fun with it, though. I remember fake putting the cookies out and doing all that just so. I mean, we even joked about what kind of cookies my dad wanted.
Of course.
So.
Yeah, knowing full well.
Right.
Yeah. Exactly. So we go from the fantasy of health care reform to this fantasy that still has children excited, Santa and getting the mail from Santa. So it was supposed to be toast this year. That small Alaskan town, they said they weren't going to do it because they had privacy concerns, and they changed their mind. There was a reversal from the Postal Service. It was announced heading into the weekend. And what they said was, we didn't want to spoil people's Christmas. It was a decision we had to make based on privacy. And it is labor intensive, but we're able to resume it and still make it this holiday. So the letters are going to be answered under tightened, what they call privacy rules. And it's going to be nationwide that they're going to do this because they had security concerns. Yeah. About a program in Maryland last year, and that's what ruined it. So now they don't have to worry about it. Mm-hmm. So they have a specific address to send the Santa letters to the Postal Service. And, of course, children can write Santa to the program at 1, it's so easy to remember, 1 Santa Claus Lane, North Pole, Alaska, 99705. You know that they have like 100 people that volunteer and answer the letters. I think that's very cool. It's like a town, the people in this town in the North Pole, it's a town of about 2,100, and they were really upset because their whole image is about this Kris Kringle drive and everything, and the post office is one of the big attractions when tourists come up, and the North Pole postmark. So they were really upset that they weren't going to get to do that, and now it's all turned around. So that is our daily salute. Well, you know, sometimes it's a good thing when things come to an end. In that case, it wouldn't have been a good thing because it would have spoiled Christmas for too many innocent kids, right? This is a good thing that this is coming to an end. I never watched it, but because I'm aware, I certainly know it existed. John and Kate plus 8, it is done as of Monday night. 4 seasons, they were just, you know, plugging along. I guess a lot of people would watch them. They had pretty decent ratings on this little cable network, TLC. Lots of fans, and they would tune in and watch to this version of a reality show. But then all hell broke loose. And, of course, Kate was controlling, and John was fooling around, and he was passive, and whatever happened in their crazy marriage. So after renewing their wedding vows just a year ago, they're getting divorced, and the program is done, as you know. They're not going to renew them. It looked like she was going to have a solo show, but then he trashed that with some stuff that he did. So I guess 10 million people watched the first episode where they talked about their marital troubles this year. So they had that 15 minutes of fame that they were riding for an extra long time. So because of all the fallout, apparently, they're right now and legal problems, the couple's problems, TLC's problems, the network and all of that, it turns out as of right now, there is nothing moving forward. So here's the thing, and I read a story in this, and I thought, oh, they are so right on this. The problem is, okay, you seduce people with this whole thing of all these kids, and here's what we're doing, and here's the reality version, and they were getting paid. Can you imagine this? Think of Stu in Kentucky and his family and other people listening. Can you imagine getting paid to have cameras, first of all, hanging around you for 5 months out of the year, but getting paid $2 million? There's your kids' education or whatever, if you could stand it. And they have all these kids, you know, 8 kids. So that was they were earning buku bucks for that. Plus they had endorsements and all the other stuff. So it was probably more than $2 million. That was just a pure salary. And what happened was then this whole thing falls apart. They're overexposed all over the place. Every magazine, mainstream, tabloidy, etc. So then nobody, they're sick of them. They don't want anything to do with them. They're tired of it. We're over it. People don't want to be depressed. They don't want to hear about the glass being half empty every day. It's over. It's done. So there's nowhere they can go with this. And he caused so much problems that there was no way for her to move forward with it. It's just a train wreck, and it's not working anymore. So in the end, I hope they save some of that money for those kids and their education, because after introducing them to the camera and having them live with the camera for so long, ultimately what they did cost them the money that they were raking in. Frankly, for my money, I never watched them. Like I said, I was aware of who they were, but I thought it was so over the top, and it was another one of those who cares. We have serious things happening. There are so many other more interesting things, even on the fun side of life, than these two people and their idiot problems being played out before everybody and being on talk shows and stuff. And it just became the blame game, and it did get too depressing. So, Matt, if you were her, I would probably want to strangle him, because I had convinced the network to just move forward. She had convinced the network just to move forward with her, so she still would have been getting some of that do-re-mi love from TLC. But he cost her that. So not only are they getting divorced, now they got all these kids, and the separation and having to figure out the alimony and the back and forth and custody and everything. But that's the end of that gravy train, that salary.
I'm sure she'll end up with a book deal and maybe her own talk show. So I don't think the gravy train will end quite yet.
I don't see her doing a talk show. What she does, who is watching her doing a talk show? See, now that's interesting that you say that about the talk show, because Oprah Winfrey announces on Friday that officially that she's done as of 2011. She's going to start her own network, but she's going to leave the mainstream, if you will, the ABCs mostly around the country. So everybody's speculating, oh, who's the replacement for Oprah? Is it Anderson Cooper? Is it Katie Couric? Is it Kate Goslin? Oh, if people watched her, shame on them if they would watch her do a talk show. I don't see it, because what is interesting? What does she have to offer that's so interesting, or what incredible skills does she have that would really suck you in to listening to her interviews or whatever? I don't see it.
There's lots of people with shows that I don't understand how they're successful, so I don't know.
Yeah, that's true. People that's true. Reality anything. TV. Yeah. People. I think that maybe it's something about the box. Maybe people watch TV too much, so it comes to the point where some people will zone in on anything. You just put it in front of them, and they'll just watch whatever it is. Doesn't matter if it's ridiculous or it's mildly interesting to them or not even interesting at all. They'll just stay in front of it, and it has just sucked you in. It has pulled you into its grasp. Maybe that's the theory.
I don't know. For me, it takes some effort to get me sucked into a show. I still have friends who refuse to believe I don't like Dexter, but I just don't. It never caught on with me. I know it's a highly successful show.
I love it.
That's not my cup of tea.
Yeah, I like Dexter, but I like more of the cable shows, and I usually end up TiVoing everything because of the time constraints anyway, but not reality TV. I'm not a reality TV fan. All right, 800, we're all over the map as usual here on America Tonight. 800-259-5791. Hang with us on to what's happening across the country coming up on the flip side.
Do you want to get away from additives and preservatives in your food? Need alternatives to conventional food preparation? Do you want to save the fruits of your gardening labor? And are you looking for an excellent gift idea? Then check out the Excalibur Dehydrator. Dehydration is one of the healthiest, most cost-effective, and fun ways to feed yourself and your family. Make healthy snacks like fruit roll-ups and beef jerky. Store healthy food in case of an emergency with no added salts, fats, or preservatives. And save hundreds of dollars by drying it yourself with the Excalibur Dehydrator. The Excalibur Dehydrator comes with an industry-leading exclusive 10-year warranty. And when you order, you'll receive a free book filled with amazing, easy recipes. A $25 value free for a limited time. Just mention coupon code GCN. Learn more and order your Excalibur Dehydrator today at drying123.com. That's drying123.com. Drying123.com. Or call 1-800-875-4254. That's 1-800-875-4254. Season's greetings and health and wellness from Excalibur Dehydrator.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN, great talk radio starts here.
Hello. At OfTheField.com, we strive to empower you with wild food preparedness. We get lots of amazing positive feedback, most of which we feature on OfTheField.com. Here's a small sample of all that people like you have to say about the wild food experience.
It's inspiring for many who are affected by the recent downturn of the economy.
I already knew a bit about foraging and edibles, but you take it to a whole new level.
A thousand thanks to you for all that great knowledge. It was empowering.
When I was in the Navy, I went through a couple of quick land survival classes.
Thank you for being an inspiration and for all the work that you do.
I really appreciate the depth and detail of the information.
Thank you so much.
Much love and respect to you from all of us here in the boonies.
Thanks again.
Knowledge is power, and that power brings peace.
Folks, thanks for letting us help you get back to basics. Read all of the testimonials at OfTheField.com. You can order online for you and your loved ones, or call 1-888-51-EAT-FREE to share in the secret.
Why are you letting that search engine spy on you?
Spy on me?
Yeah. Don't you know Google, Yahoo, and other search engines record all your searches and store them in a giant database? You should use StartPage instead.
StartPage?
Yeah, StartPage.com, the new name for IxQuick, the world's most private search engine. They don't record your searches or your IP address, and the search results are great. Plus, StartPage is third-party certified, and it's totally free.
I don't want Big Brother watching what I do on the internet. I'm adding StartPage to my browser.
Right. Go to StartPage.com and start searching with privacy.
Hello, folks. This is Alex Jones. There are some habits you need to break if you want to hold on to your privacy. That's why I'm inviting you to take the one-week Start Page Challenge. The next time you're about to look something up on Google, Yahoo, or Bing, go to StartPage.com instead. Try 7 days of Start Page and break the Big Brother habit. Do yourself and your privacy a favor. Try StartPage.com for 7 days and start protecting your privacy. That's StartPage.com.
For thousands of years, Native American healing has been practiced in North America. The Native Americans discovered an astonishing healing plant called Siaga. This pesticide-free, wild-crafted, all-natural wonder is handpicked by a medicine man and effectively combined with other all-natural and sacred ingredients into a product called Defense. These key ingredients not only supply powerful immune system building blocks defending your body against natural and man-made viruses, but they also assist your body in healing itself from life-threatening conditions. HealForGood.com's defense capsules are Native American practitioners' remedy. Start now with a 100% money-back guarantee. Mention this ad and receive $5 off your first 3-month supply of defense capsules. Call 1-877-HEAL-4-GOOD. 1-877-HEAL, the number 4, GOOD. That's 877-432-5446. Or order online at HealForGood.com. That's HealForGood.com.
Another 15 minutes and let you know whether or not anybody nailed the score this time around. And don't forget, coming up on Tuesday, we have the shortened week, so we've got Nail the Score on Tuesday in our third hour. I hope a lot of people are still around, because 5 people who come close get a copy of Dave Pell's book on fixing your golf game. It's called Damage Control. It's really, really good. If you're not into golf, you could pass it on to someone else, because it's a hardcover book, so it'd be a good present to give to somebody. Plus, everybody who calls in anyway, already, if you've called in, you're entered for the big drawing at the end of the season. If nobody, I mean, somebody could still nail the score and they get the prize pack, which would include this, but if you are just anybody who's called in, we have a drawing at the end of the year for the Pels class, for the sleeve, the 24 balls, for the wedge. It's all good, my friends. So now it does count if you come close on Tuesday, and even if you call in, there's something in it for you by the end of the season, because you might be the lucky winner. But of course, we've had, I don't know, over 100 something people, whatever it is, every week. So what are the odds? But you could be the person that gets chosen. That's the key deal here. All right, speaking of getting chosen, we all want to win something, don't we? We'd like to win the lottery. More and more I hear people of all kinds saying they want to win the lottery. You know, it used to just be a joke, you have to play to win. But now people are really talking about that. And why? Because of the economy and people who can't find jobs and because of the tighter pinch and the talk of more taxes to pay for this, to pay for that, etc. So Tim Geithner's been under fire, obviously, and he was grilled last week on the Hill. Here's what it sounded like when Geithner was asked about the economy and the repercussions.
Conservatives agree that as point person, you failed. Liberals are growing in that consensus as well. Poll after poll shows the public has lost confidence in this president's ability to handle the economy for the sake of our jobs. Will you step down from your post?
Congressman, it is a great privilege for me to serve this president, and I am very pleased with a chance to address the range of concerns you said. I agree with almost nothing in what you said, and I think almost nothing in what you said represents a fair and accurate perception of where this economy is today. Now, I think it's important to start. Welcome the advice that you're providing after you gave this president economy falling off the cliff, values of American savings cut almost in half, millions of Americans out of work. Again, the worst financial crisis we've seen in a generation.
Remind me, Mr. Secretary, what post were you holding when President Bush left office? Just remind me what economic post you were holding.
I was the president of the Federal Reserve Bank of New York.
All right, so he had to go list his credentials. That was pretty interesting. So as you can imagine, as part of the Sunday shows, people were talking about the economy a little bit, obviously, too. And Senator Joe Lieberman added his own twist to it, although he did stick up for Geithner and didn't feel like Geithner should be fired because a lot of people are starting to call for his head. And that was that testy exchange you saw heard from last week, the Secretary of the Treasury on the hot seat. So Joe Lieberman defends Geithner and also talks about where we're moving with the economy.
Well, that's up to the President Obama, but I'd say he should. In other words, I wouldn't call for his resignation. I think it's too easy to make one person a scapegoat. The fact is that a lot of the things that have been done, look, the economy is not where we want it to be, particularly with unemployment over 10%, probably real under an unemployment almost 17.5%. That's horrible. People are really hurting, but a lot of the things that were done beginning in the Bush administration with the TARP program and all the rest, and then the Stimulus Act, I think are bringing us back. And the stock market is saying that with the heights it's reached. We got work to do. I think the most important thing we can do, for instance, on health care reform, is do no harm. Don't add to the debt. That's the thing I'm really worried about. Second, there are some more things we can do without spending a lot of money to stimulate the economy a little more after the first of the year. And then I'd say fiscal regulatory reform, close the gaps that allowed the people on Wall Street and the banks to basically cheat us.
But this is a big debate.
All right, so you get Lieberman's idea here, and he knows that some of what happened was inherited. I mean, ultimately, Henry Paulson certainly made a mess of things because he had his cronies that he was protecting, no doubt. But Geithner, to me, the first problem was with Tim Geithner. The first problem was the guy didn't pay his taxes. He had to go way back into his history, into his vault, to pay up those taxes. Ooh, the Secretary of the Treasury, and I've got to go back and dig deep. That was the first problem. And yes, with things that happened, you can only advance the ball so far, but the stimulus and the way it was portrayed, and again, the amount of the deficit is ridiculous. You cannot keep adding to this. You already know this. I'm preaching to the choir here for most of you probably listening. All right, here's Senator Feinstein's take on what's more important when we talk about the economy. Really, she thinks, as I think, one of the things, especially in California, is what are you going to do about the jobs? It's the jobs. We've got to have those jobs. Here's what she said.
Well, right now it's more jobs because unemployment. I've got nearly 2.5 million people unemployed. That's bigger than the population of 12 states. It's a real problem because California is an economic dynamo for the rest of the country. And when it's off, it has a repercussion all throughout America, and it is off. Having said that, I think we need to do some very careful things with respect to some lending for big infrastructure. An interest that I've had for a long time is in high-speed rail, and there are three regional high-speed rail systems being planned in the United States. I'd like to see an infrastructure bank developed with some of the remaining TARP money that could lend to communities to move those plans forward quicker, so that, because transportation has a billion, it has 40,000 jobs for $1 billion spent. And so it's a good investment of funds right now. We have to be concerned with jobs. I mean, I cannot tell you what it's like when college graduates come and say, look, I've sent out 40 resumes. I've been turned down 40 times. I've got a degree. I'm a 4.0 student. What do I do? Let alone the person that has worked in a machine shop who's laid off. It is a real problem in our country.
All right, so you hear Feinstein there, and of course, it's, again, incredibly tough in California. I know I've mentioned this before. I have a friend that's out of work in California who's massively qualified. Looks like she could be close to a job, but it's been a long, long road, and not for nothing, not for lack of effort and trying. So of all the places there, and all the states that have been hurt, people listening to me in Michigan, I know that you can sympathize with what's happened there, but Michigan and California definitely slammed, no question about that. I mean, there's a great chance in California already they're seeing it because of the budget problems that they've had to shorten weeks for people, but that means taking out of their paycheck, but better to have some than none, and that's been a huge problem for a lot of people. That's a number that you don't often hear talked about, but the underemployed, people who are not really making ends meet at all, and they're just trying to do whatever they can to get money to come to the door. Well, it should have been a movie star. Shoulda, woulda, coulda. This was the genre to be a part of. Of course, the vampire deal. Check this out. New Moon, which is the sequel to Twilight, pulled in $140 million. That's just domestically in the opening weekend. I mean, this is the teenage girl's, you know, fantasy. This Robert Pattinson or whatever his name is. But obviously their dates are taking them, or their mothers are taking them, or someone's taking them, because it's not just teenage girls. $140 million. Wow. Incredible that it would open that high for the sequel, but I guess I'm not surprised. They've struck a chord here, kind of like the new Harry Potter, although much more violent if you think of the whole vampire thing. And this New Moon movie advances the ball in some of the stories that you might have heard in Twilight. I didn't see Twilight, so, you know, I know it's about vampires. I know what it is. But that's crazy to hit that number. And a part of it is the hot guy and the cute girl. It's a genre that's worked for a long time, and it is, you get the guy, you get the girl, they're on the teen magazines, and they will come. And they call these people that go to see it, they're twihards. That's what they call them, the people that are online. They get their fix that way. So I guess I should have realized that this was going to be a new blockbuster. Like I said, kind of like the Harry Potter deal. Different in what it is, but the fact that it's pulling in that much in just one weekend, and it created a frenzy at the LA premiere. Imagine if they keep pumping out more of these books. Robert Pattinson will be set for life, or probably he already is, because he's got that good look and that hair and the whole thing working for him, and he's just a kid. He's 23 years old, and he's got him. So he's got the franchise, and then he can move on to other things. Vampires. Anybody pay attention to vampires anymore? Well, there is True Blood, and I have to say that I'm hooked into that. I'm from the Dark Shadows crowd of a long time ago. I know, it doesn't really fit with the other stuff I do. All right, coming up, we're going to tell you, I'm getting the safe out now, whether or not anybody nailed the score, plus some highlights and lowlights from the NFL.
Most people know that drinking pure, high alkaline pH water is the most important factor in maintaining high energy and vibrant health. Most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops combine a unique formula of the most alkaline minerals. Using plasma pH drops is the best way to make your water alkaline to help you get rid of acid and regain your health and energy. Simply put 10 drops in the water you drink to raise the pH to a healthy level. Alkalizing water helps your body rid itself of acidic waste and increases the oxygen content of your body. Disease organisms like bacteria, viruses, and cancer cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops now by going directly to AlkaVision.com. That's A-L-K-A-Vision.com. Or call 269-409-1776. 269-409-1776 today.
You don't have to be in the military to enjoy military surplus savings. Right now at MaineMilitary.com, you'll find savings on the top must-have military supplies. M10 gas masks for $12 or 3 for 30. Gas mask hoods, $4 or 3 for 10. Mask filters, $6 or 3 for 15. Save big on British chemical suits, only $12. Israeli gas masks, $20. Trigger finger gloves, $5 a pair or $36 a dozen. Snowshoe binding for $8 or $48 a dozen, and so much more. Even hard-to-find surplus items, all at surplus prices. Preparing the whole family has never been so affordable at MaineMilitary.com. MaineMilitary.com, one of the last surviving true surplus stores in the country. Shop now at MaineMilitary.com or call 877-608-0179. That's 877-608-0179 today.
We all know that the Berkey water purification systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 4 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey guy offers amazing specials for Berkey water systems. The revolutionary Berkey light systems include a set of self-sterilizing and re-cleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels, and removes harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey light system today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $209, and the Berkey guy will include three sport Berkey water bottles and ship everything to you free of charge. That's right, three Sport Berkey water bottles and free shipping, an $87 value, yours free, but only for a limited time. Just call the Berkey guy at 1-877-886-3653 now to order. That's 1-877-886-3653 or order online now at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Shotgun. Romo back. Kine now pressure. Now rolls. Do he touch the middle? Oh, look around. Do he stop the throw? Is that going to end zone? Touchdown! Patrick Clayton!
Kevin Smith to the right of Matthew Stafford. 8 seconds remaining. Stafford takes the snap. Sets in the pocket. Rolls left. This is going to be it. Got to get rid of it. Stafford sets. Looks. Now running back to his right. Stafford looking for somewhere to go. Sets and throws. End zone. Watch out. He pushed him. That's got to be a flag. It's going to be first and goal, Lions. No time on the clock. The Lions will get one play. This will be interference in the end zone. Stafford up under center. Last play of the game. Takes the snap. Rolls. Goes. End zone. Touchdown. Detroit Lions. Sandy Pettigrew. Rookie to rookie. What a finish. And the Lions are an extra point away from the win.
Tony Stewart is tight right. Zach Miller in right wing in a slot. Left. Murphy inside of Hayward Bay. A pump. Right. A throw left for Murphy. Get it on the goal line. He's in. Touchdown. And this will be Caldwell's first return today. Where he had one return earlier for 22 yards. Here's a kickoff by Janikowski. Caldwell will take it a yard deep in the end zone. He's coming out 10. Hit at the 15 off that tackle. Cut back inside.
And he's over the ball. The Raiders have it. The Raiders have recovered the ball on the 18-yard line. And field goal
Yeah, how about those Colts? They reached 10-0 thanks to the Ravens' huge mistakes. Here's some of the highlights and lowlights, as I mentioned, because it depends on who you cheer for. I mean, it's highlights if it's your team stomping on the grave of the opponent. Certainly, it's lowlights if you're on the other side of that matchup. For example, my Philadelphia Eagles, they played the Sunday night game. They held on for the win. They beat Chicago. Chicago had chances, and there was an interception at the end that killed it, so the Eagles win this 24-20. They're 6-4 as a result, and they were playing in Chicago's pretty tough territory. It was really a must-win for them because the Cowboys, how they keep pulling this out, the Cowboys won again, but barely, with a touchdown in the fourth quarter. The Redskins could only put up a couple of kicks, a couple of field goals. So 7-6, they win. They're 7-3. But how about the Saints? Of course they were going to beat the Buccaneers. They're 10-0, 38-7 the final score there. The Giants barely, this was the interesting game. They're 6-4, but they barely get by the Falcons, 34-31. The Lions beat the Browns, 38-37. How about those Vikings? They keep on rolling. Yes, it's Seattle, but it was at Mall of America Field, at Hubert Humphrey Metrodome, Minneapolis, Minnesota. What a mouthful. The Vikings slaughter the Seahawks, 35-9. But here was an interesting game. The Chiefs now are 3-7. They beat the Steelers 27-24. But what's scary is Ben Roethlisberger with a head injury. Now, something that has now got the NFL really talking is if you're the quarterback, you get your, and other players can have this happen too, but primarily the quarterback, you get your bell rung. How many times can you have a concussion and not have this, you know, take you out for your career, like Troy Aikman or some other people? Merrill Hodges, another one who suffered through that, when you know you have to quit because it's just too risky for what's happened to you on the head. So Ben Roethlisberger just wobbled if you watched that. He had a possible concussion. You could just see him on the sidelines. And so, you know, there has to be a concern there. He took a knee to the helmet when he was getting sacked. And needless to say, these kind of things happen to the signal callers, and it's very, very dangerous. So the NFL has instituted a new policy on concussions. And I think that's a good thing, because you certainly don't want somebody to end the career, whether it's a decent career they've had and they've never won a Super Bowl, or they're a Super Bowl winning quarterback, to go out and have sort of a vegetative state or a mush brain for the rest of their life because of head trauma is not a good thing. And whatever they have to do, whatever it is they have to do, I think to look at what's happened as a result of getting slammed over and over again is a good thing. So here's what they've done. Teams were instructed to immediately find independent doctors and send names to leagues for approval. And what they're talking about is that each team is required to supplement their medical staff with an independent neurologist to help specifically with concussions, which I think is a good thing that Roger Goodell has decided to put in place. This is such a hot button, and it is so, so, so scary. It doesn't always have to be the quarterback. Like Eagles running back Brian Westbrook had two concussions in two games, so that's why he stayed out extra weeks to make sure that he was okay. All right, so without further ado, that was the week that was. Just a couple of highlights. You heard some of them, and I talked about some of the other games. But the game of the week was the Chargers and the Broncos. A lot of you called and really believed in the Broncos, thought it was going to be a great game for them, liked some home cooking and all that other sort of stuff. But, boy, I don't know that any of us could have envisioned what happened. Here's some of the highlights from the game of the week.
Chris Sims will go to work with Kyle Orton hurt. The son of the great Phil Sims is yet to win the hearts of Bronco fans. Sims has not passed the football yet. He's back in shotgun, and he will right now. They're coming at him. He is hit and stripped of the ball. It's rolling around, scooped up by Gregory. And Steve Gregory has it for the Chargers at the 32-yard line. San Diego's got that football. Sean Phillips made it happen.
First and goal from the 4-yard line. Orton hands it off to Moreno, sliding towards the goal line.
Fumbled it as he crossed the goal line. Gregory makes his second recovery of this game. Charger football as it popped out right at the goal line into the arms of Steve Gregory.
Three times.
tight ends. Manimala Yuna's one of them. He's in motion. Hand off Tomlinson. Following Manimala Yuna's block. Diving to the goal line. Touchdown! San Diego! Tolbert in front of him. Manimala Yuna motions to the right side of the line. And the handoff inside to Tolbert. Breaking tackles. Touchdown! San Diego!
All right, so you get the gist of that. Touchdown, San Diego. So the Chargers win this 32-3. I like the Chargers, but I thought it was going to be a close game. 27-21 was my choice. Matt said Denver 24-20, and a lot of you.
I'm stupid. You're smart.
Oh, sweet. I love it. A lot of us thought it would be close, but it was anything but close. And the problem was, and we did say this on the show, I know this was one of the things I said, if Chris Sims comes in, it has disaster possibly written all over it, and that's part of what happened. I'm not taking anything away from the Chargers either, though. And the Chargers now control the destiny in the AFC West, at least for this week. They're 7-3. So that was a tough loss for Denver. And throwing Kyle Orton in at the end didn't help any, of course. And the Broncos go down in flames. Did you watch that game, Matt?
I watched a little bit of it, but it got so out of hand.
So boring.
I mean, it was a lot like the Vikings game. By the time the third quarter was heading into play, it was just the end of the game was never in doubt. I mean, these teams there was a lot of close games, close overtime games. The Lions game went down to the wire, but there were also blowouts. And the Chargers and the Vikings games are two of them, and so I quit watching both of them.
Oh, yeah, early. They were boring. And, you know, it's interesting. It brings something up about Chris Sims. He was rusty. He showed it, of course, because he doesn't take that many snaps at practice. You know, you wonder if you should work more with the backup quarterback, never intending. I mean, you know, supposedly the backup's always ready. They know the game plan, et cetera. And you have to focus on your number one guy. But it makes you wonder if they shouldn't be more in the loop a little bit. This is a perfect example. I mean, you could say, well, Chris Sims isn't the great quarterback anyway. But he really looked off the mark completely. He looked befuddled to me in some of the plays I saw.
Yeah, he didn't look that good. But here in Viking land, we had T-Jack play the entire fourth quarter because we were up so much and even threw a touchdown pass.
And how about that?
So
that's how you get the
backups playing time. You just got to steamroll.
Right, exactly. Steamroll if you are. That's a good point, though. If you are steamrolling a team, definitely. Then if your number one guy, your superstar is well, sure. Put in the other guy, and a lot of teams obviously do that because at least they're getting the real live action, you know, et cetera. And so it was good for that to happen for the Vikings. But it's what an amazing role it's been for them, whether they're playing a team that's okay or a team that's really, really good. It's been an exciting year, certainly, for those fans, for Saints fans as well, for Colts fans. They're excited. The NFC East is a toss-up. It's got to be exciting for Charger fans because they've won five straight while the Broncos have dropped four in a row. So nobody nailed the score, sorry to say. But good luck next time around. Remember, lock and load for Tuesday/Wednesday in our third hour. We'll do this week's Nail the Score Thanksgiving Day special.
Where's the Tito show right now?
All I want to know if you got your popcorn ready. Do you got your popcorn ready? I love me some meat. I can't stand myself.